1, 2, 3. We are back, Roddies. Managed to sneak a bit of French in there as well. I think we're almost at the extent of my French, though.
You're going to have to actually go and get some French lessons to expand your vocab.
I'm going to have to, what's it called? The kids do it. The kids do it on... My children are on Duolingo is what it's called. It's
Duolingo.
An app. So, Roddies, okay. If you want to learn another language, Duolingo is the app that all the kids are doing. My daughter decided that she wanted to learn a new language. And what language do you think my Aryan-looking daughter chose?
German.
No. What language do you reckon my daughter chose?
What did she get?
She's had a bit of forethought in this as well.
Oh, really? Okay, maybe she's gone something like Chinese.
Correct. They are going to be our potential overlords. Yeah, right. So she wants to endure herself to our overlords.
There first. Yep.
So she's, yeah, ni hao ma. She's into it. Now, my son originally started to go with what I believe is one of the most romantic languages, Spanish.
Okay.
I think it's a lovely language. It's spoken by most of the people in South America and obviously the people in Spain.
So even when the drug lord is about to tap you on the back of the head for having sex with his wife.
Yes.
You're still thinking when he's talking to you, God, it's a sexy language.
I would. Yes, what you do that for?
Even when you're about to die, you just turn around and go, oh,
thanks for that.
That's awesome.
That's awesome.
And all the henchmen are just saying, this guy's fucking lost his marbles.
Exactly. But he's recently changed from Espanol, and now he is sprechen Sie Deutsch. He is learning German.
Righto.
And the reason why he's chosen German is my father-in-law was a RAF brat. So my father-in-law's dad was American Air Force, and they traveled around the world. And one of the places that he was stationed was Germany.
Yeah,
so
right.
My father-in-law lived in Germany for a few years and speaks German. And so my son wanted...
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so my son wanted someone who he could practice with. Because that's the hardest part. If you're learning another language, if you don't know someone who speaks that language, all you're doing is talking to a computer sort of thing.
Yeah, you don't know if you've actually got it right.
And I'm not sure I want to unleash my son on the internet to say, is there anyone speaking German who wants to talk to an 11-year-old boy? Like, I think the words sucking to cocking might come out at some point in time.
Oh, and that is spectacular.
I just don't want him to be exposed to that just yet.
It's brilliant.
Or he might be, the words Sig and Heil might come up. And that's certainly not where I want to see him positioned either as well. So, so Duolingo is where I might need to head for some French or Eurovision. Because they commentate Eurovision in most languages is English and French.
Yeah, Eurovision is coming up again sometime soon.
Deux points. 2 points, that's all I know.
Jesus Christ.
So I've tapped that well already. Yeah, no. I've already gone to my Eurovision trove and I'm done there. I really am have to go. I might have to look at Jacques Ramon, who's a three-hatted Australian chef who's French. Maybe I need to get some of that.
Okay.
Do some culinary talk.
Well, you do that.
Yes. Come up with a gâteau.
Well, how long it's going to take for people like, fucking hell, Jay, just cut out with the French, dude.
I think that's already happened.
Right.
but, you know. The Parisian Olympics, it's gone. Like 150
it's
days.
Away. I was wondering why we'd gone down from like 500 listens a week to three.
Three.
That's your wife,
yes.
Your mum,
my
and
wife
your daughter,
doesn't listen.
And your son.
And my son and daughter don't listen.
Shit, who's the third one?
Our mum.
It's probably the guy in the van
yes.
With the internet.
Correct.
That's hoping to get an 11-year-old boy.
Now, Mr. Barnes, a couple of weeks ago, I set you a challenge, which
you failed dismally.
I didn't
dismally fail.
Did you complete the task within the time frame allotted?
I completed 50% of the task.
Yes.
Not the full task.
No, okay. Oh, so you want like a complimentary point because you did a little bit. Okay.
So what did you want? The task, the whole task, and nothing but the task.
So help you task. No, the task that I set you is I watched a documentary on, I believe it's the Netflix.
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah. And it's called The Greatest Night in pop ever, I believe.
Just the greatest night in pop.
Greatest night in pop.
I had seen it on there, and it was on my to-watch list, but I hadn't got to it yet. And you come along and said, have you watched this yet? And I went, no, you've got to watch it.
Fucking,
you I pretty much said, watch it for the next episode. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
And when you turned up, I'd seen half.
Yes.
So we went, okay, well, let's leave it till the next week.
Yes.
So.
And then the next week we spoke about Taylor and Swift.
So we're here now. It's okay.
Better late than never.
Yep.
Yeah. So the premise of the film is a documentary account of the recording of the song We Are the World.
Yeah.
Now, there were so – look, Roadies, fucking stop what you're doing right now. Go and watch it. Yeah. Like, it really is.
I will say it was one of the coolest things I've watched for a while.
Yeah. If you have any remote affinity – I think affinity? Yeah.
Yeah.
With – pop culture music, this will be something that you will probably look at and go, oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know this. I didn't know that. Like, one of the things that I didn't know was this was basically brought together by Lionel Richie.
Yeah, I was not aware of that at all.
Michael Jackson and Otis Redding.
Yeah, there's a few big names in there.
Was it Otis Redding? Written by Michael Jackson, Lionel Richie, Quincy Jones.
Was Otis in there? I don't know whether Otis was in there or not. I know
Harry Belafonte.
I know Stevie Wonder was meant to be writing the song with him, but Stevie just wouldn't turn up.
Yep.
Wasn't there? Couldn't find his way.
There you go.
He got lost.
So it originally started with Harry Belafonte. And if you don't know who Harry Belafonte is, you'll know him by Daylight come and me wanna go home.
That's the song.
Yeah. That's his song. And and so he decided to do an American version of what happened, I think, a couple of months beforehand with Bob Geldof, Sir Bob Geldof. We're in the fucking colonies, mate.
Here we go.
When they did Band-Aid.
You and your fucking
Do sirs they know it's Christmas?
Jesus.
Sir Bob Geldof, thank you very much. So tell me what you did think of it, Mr. Barnes.
It was extraordinary.
Wasn't it?
A lot of things that I took from it, it's really interesting. One, I didn't realize that Lionel Richie was so involved. Like, I knew he was there.
Wrote the song.
I didn't realize that he was, like, the pioneer of it, essentially.
Him and Michael wrote the song in, like, what was it, 2 weeks or something?
Yeah, it was just ridiculous. I also didn't think about the fact of how difficult it was back then to get such a phenomenal collection of pretty much every musical icon of that era together in one room.
So let me tell you who was in it, who got a solo.
Go for it. And there's a few of them, to be honest, that were in it too. That aren't with us now as well.
Correct. So let's go
through.
This
is 85, this happened.
This is who they got together in 85. Lionel Richie, Stevie Wonder, Paul Simon, Kenny Rogers, James Ingram, Tina Turner, Billy Joel, Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, Dionne Warwick, Willie Nelson, Al Jarreau, Bruce Springsteen, Kenny Loggins, Steve Perry, Daryl Hall, Huey Lewis, Cyndi Lauper, Kim Carnes, Bob Dylan, and Ray Charles. The chorus. So these are people who they went, fuck, you're all right, but you're not going to get a solo. And if you're going through the top list, you'll know.
Springsteen did get a little bit of solo stuff, though.
He did. Bruce got there. But here is the people who just made the chorus, which cracks me up. Dan Aykroyd.
Yes. I love the fact that he was there.
Harry Belafonte, Lindsay Buckingham, Mario Cipollone.
Buckingham. Didn't she ride the horse?
Mario was from Huey Lewis and the News. Johnny Colau was also from Huey Lewis and the News. Sheena E. Sir Bob Geldof. Billy Gibson was Huey Lewis in the News. Chris Haynes, Huey Lewis in the News.
So basically, Shinoba, the News were there.
Correct. Now, let's get into the Jacksons. Jackie Jackson, LaToya Jackson, Marlon Jackson, Randy Jackson, Tito Jackson, Waylon Jennings, the Highwayman, Bette fucking Midler, John Oates, Jeffrey Osborne, Anita Poynter from the Poynter Sisters, Julie Poynter from the Poynter Sisters, and Ruth Poynter from the Poynter Sisters, and Smokey Robinson. Now, I don't know whether or not I know any of the musicians.
I wouldn't have been big on the musicians.
One of your uncles, John Barnes.
Okay.
David Paich, Michael Boddicker, Ian Underwood, Steve Picaro, Paulinho da Costa.
So there's people now that are going.
Louis Johnson, Michael Ottoman, Greg Filoganis, and John Robinson was on the drums. But fuck me. That's a lot of people who are very bloody popular back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking 1985.
Before the mobile phone.
Yeah,
that's and this the is thing. What made it. This is what surprised me, because you don't think about how difficult things were back then.
Mm.
You didn't just text people.
No.
Or shoot out a group email.
No, no email back then either.
You couldn't bring people on the road.
Nope.
You had to actually go to the fucking Folodex.
Yes.
And get a phone number out.
Yes.
And take that phone off the receiver on the wall.
Yes. Manually dial the numbers.
Manually dial it and ring people to say, we need to organise everyone to be here.
On this time, this date.
Like, it was just phenomenal.
Secret the fact squirrel. That
it came together. It just, it actually blows my mind. And not only that, they organised all that. It's like, cool, okay, we need to write the song.
Yeah, we haven't got a song yet.
So Lionel and
Michael
and also Stevie Wonder, they're going to write the song.
Yeah, and by the way, Stevie doesn't give a shit.
Yes, yeah, Stevie's not even there. So Lionel and Michael start writing this song. So they essentially wrote We Are the World.
In 10 days or something.
It was bizarre, absolutely bizarre.
And the thing that came out of it that I was not aware of was how pivotal in the music culture Quincy Jones was back then.
Yeah, I knew the name as being involved with Michael Jackson and other names.
Tagged to Michael, but that's
I never realised how big he was in the industry.
Yeah, like he was the person who I think he was credited as the conductor, the arranger. He was the one who sat down, and it's wonderful to see all these famous names with their own piece of paper and the song, and Quincy's going, right, well, this person can sing that part because that's in that person's range, or this person can sing this.
It all came together like vocal Tetris.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yep. And they did this all in one night as well.
Yeah.
So they basically finished the American Music Awards.
Well, that's the time they decided wins everyone in town.
Lionel was so here we go. So Lionel wrote the song, co-wrote the song.
Yep, with Michael.
Helped organise or orchestrate everything on the night. He was kind of the guy that just kept shit together a lot of the time.
But before that,
he hosted the American Awards. Yeah, he had to learn all his lines for that.
Yes,
he won. I think was it five or six fucking awards as well.
Yes.
And then when he finishes all that, he then has to get to the next venue so they can record We Are the World until like 5 in the morning.
Well, because they didn't start till like 8 or 9 o'clock at night.
And just, oh my God, it was just, it looked painful. Even from the point of view of they said so many people in a room, and how sweaty it got.
Funky.
Like, yeah, it was just, and you never think about that either because these rooms aren't designed for ventilation. They're designed to get in and record.
Soundproof, in fact.
And you're not normally designed to have, say, 40 or 50 people in there.
No.
You meant to have maybe a band of 5.
Correct.
maybe 3, all the Pointer Sisters.
Exactly, that's it. But the thing is as well, it's like
27, all the Jacksons.
You can't bring your entourage. And I love the thing that they showed that Quincy Jones wrote, which is check your ego at the door.
Yes.
Yep. Put that up
and
there.
And there was some ego. Even a lot of the artists said that there was a lot of ego in the room.
Yeah, like. And especially those people who were like, oh, I can sing this, but no, you can't.
Yeah, no, you can't.
Because Quincy knows what you can sing and you can't sing that.
They tried to get Prince. I mean, Prince was one of the biggest artists of that time, but he doesn't like a group of people.
And he was like, I'll do my bit later.
Yeah, and he also wanted to play guitar. I was like, no, you don't need to play guitar. We've got that.
Yeah, we got that covered.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also him and Michael were kind of arch nemeses at the time as well.
Which I'm not sure how in real life that was or whether or not it was just they were competitive on the Billboard charts.
Could have been.
But for that to happen, and I suppose a couple of my favourite moments out of it was Bob Dylan and Stevie Wonder. So Bob Dylan was very bloody nervous to be there because Bob Dylan is not known as a vocal gymnast. He's not known for having the greatest singing voice. He is an amazing lyricist. He is an amazing poet.
I mean, he's going, hee, 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 hee. It's more like a fucking bike going, a dirt bike through the bush.
And he's like, okay, right, Bob, we're up to you. And he was a bit confused. Do you want me to sing it like everyone else's proper singing?
Yeah.
Or do you want me to be Bob Dylan, which is more of a talky sing?
Yeah.
And Stevie Wonder goes, No, Bob, they want you to do it like this. And then sings Bob Dylan as a mimic to Bob Dylan. And Bob's standing there. And Stevie Wonder takes the piss out of him and goes, hey, that's really good.
But
I'm again, the Kilkenny.
But it actually But it actually helped him know how to sing it.
Exactly.
It actually worked. The other one I love was Stevie Wonder.
Who's apparently
genius. There was the story where there was him and I think Ray Charles didn't go to the toilet. So apparently they said there was the most hilarious moment. Stevie Wonder's grinding by the helmet and said, I'll show you the way.
Exactly.
And these two have actually started walking off.
Yeah.
And I think it might have been Huey Lewis. So something like it was a literal blind leading the blind.
Exactly.
That just cracked me up.
But even then.
The Stevie Wonder, he was fucking around a lot where they actually said it sometimes they had to rein Stevie Wonder in. He was having too much fun.
Well, because they were all trying to be creative as well, because a lot of these people are songwriters, and they were like, okay, let's – I think Stevie Wonder said, we need to put some Swahili in there.
Yes, that's right. I remember saying that.
And, like, everyone's like, is that really Swahili? And is that who we're trying to raise money? Because we're, like, Ethiopia? That's a different country, Stevie.
Yep. And also, as they said as well, we're trying to attract the people that will give us money to help these people. We're not trying to sing to these people.
Yeah, because they got no money to give.
No.
They want the food.
Yeah, there are no fucks given about our song for them. They want what we can earn.
And then Waylon Jennings' response to singing Swahili was, ain't no good old boy singing no Swahili.
Yeah,
no,
that's right. And he's gone. Walked out. He's left the room.
I'm sorry. I'm a racist redneck. I ain't singing no Swahili. Just fucking great. Yeah,
that was funny. The other thing that I found really amusing, and it came up a few times, and people, please watch it. It's so good. It's an hour and a half. You'll want to watch again. I reckon down the track I'll watch it again.
Yeah.
There was a lot of scenarios with Lionel at Michael's place, at his fucking ranch or his castle or his fucking space station in the sky, whatever he had back then. With his animals all the time.
Yeah, with the snake. Because
the snake just appeared out of nowhere. He's like, oh, I've been trying to look for that snake for ages.
Hey, Lionel, you got my snake.
And then you've got fucking Bubbles, the chimp, apparently making noises in another room.
Shit everywhere.
Like fucking, and Lionel's like, what the fuck have I walked in on?
But even the logistics of, okay, like Michael and Lionel have pretty much written the song. We can't email a demo to all these people.
No.
So we're going to send them the details of where we're going.
Yep.
We're going to physically send them the lyrics, but we also need to send them a demo tape.
Yep.
So Michael goes into the studio a couple of days beforehand with Lionel and Stevie, and they lay down a demo.
Just a rough demo.
A rough demo of it.
Yep.
Michael Jackson, fucking, I'm sorry. I know that he has had a lot of problems with a lot of other things. I still rate him as one of the most fucking magical performers of all time.
Mm.
He is just insane.
Yeah.
And
you see a lot of that in this.
And he does all the different parts.
His raw talent in this is shown without any special attributes, any overdub.
Yeah.
It's just, this is what this guy's talent was. And you can actually see it.
It's a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift. Like, it just is.
It's crazy.
If you ever go to YouTube, you can also look up, there's a, I think it's called Times When Michael Jackson Forgot He Was Human. And it shows Michael Jackson singing his well-known songs and hitting notes which are just insane.
Mm.
To be able to dance and then still hit those notes is just ridiculous. But then all these people had to have a physical tape sent to them.
Yeah, this is what
we're going to ask you to sing.
Yep.
Thereabouts. And everyone going, oh, we should change this and should change that. And Quincy's like, fucking no.
Yeah, we'll be here for weeks if you do that.
Correct. We have got tonight and that's it, because you're all going to be spread to four corners of the globe.
Yep.
And we've got to sing it. And it's just one. And the humility of someone like Huey Lewis, who's standing next to Cyndi Lauper and going, I'm going to sing before her, and she's fucking belting it.
I got to admit, I probably didn't understand exactly how incredible her voice was.
Mm.
Because it's not like her pop music really showed, or from what I remember, a phenomenal range. It was just pop singing.
Yeah.
But you see her, people talk about her on this, and you see her hit a couple of notes just in the little line she's got.
Yep.
Where you actually sit back from the TV bit and go, fucking Jesus.
And Huey Lewis is sitting there.
And Huey
going,
Lewis is following
him.
What the fuck? Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
And it was really funny because he was nervous as shit because he hadn't been around these people before.
No.
He was still essentially, I suppose, a newcomer compared to these big names that have had like number one records and gone nuts. And
well, he's like, you see a couple of interviews of him where he's almost got imposter syndrome where he's like, I don't think I should be here. Like, I'm sorry, I don't think I belong in this group. You could put me in the chorus, but I don't think I belong in the big up front.
No, and he wasn't meant to be initially either. Yeah. It's just that whoever was going to do it,
probably Prince,
it didn't fit.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, well, who can do this? So I said, well, Huey Lewis can do it.
Quincy's gone, Huey, you can do that. And he's like, fucking, I can.
Yeah, he's like, fucking what now?
You fucking what now?
Yeah. And it took him a couple of goes because what was – oh, that's right. They kept getting interference on the mics. They couldn't work it out. They just couldn't get it fucking right.
There was this sound.
Yeah, and they said it was like people were laughing.
Mm.
Like what the – and I'm watching it thinking, what, is there something in a room next door? And it worked out it was Cyndi Lauper, all the fucking beads and jewelry and necklaces. Exactly. Every time she's hitting the high notes and moving her head,
the whole there was this jingle jangle.
Yeah. And once they took all it off and it was like a bucket of fucking jewelry on the floor.
All plastic.
Then they just went bang, 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 and it was all done, just smashed it. It was fucking brilliant.
It just really was. And was it Sheena? No, I think it was Diana Ross. Did I even mention that Diana Ross was in there?
I don't know.
Yes, I did. She was after Michael. So Diana Ross, I think, was one of the first ones to get there and say to somebody else, can I have your autograph?
Yeah, that's right.
And that just started an avalanche of all these famous people forgetting that they themselves were famous.
Yeah.
And going, I'm also a fan. And apparently, you look at the video and people are just passing around their sheet music.
Yeah, that's right.
Can you sign this? Can you sign this? Can you? Could you imagine how much one of those would go for? A We Are the World signed sheet music of people who were in attendance.
Yep. Oh,
there'd be a license to print money.
Nuts.
I wonder whether or not there is one.
It's amazing. So just looking at the sales wise, I mean, for back then, so there were 8 million sales in the States, not counting around the world anywhere else. 8 million. Which back then, these are physical purchases. These aren't just we jump on and stream and that counts as a sale, essentially, to an artist. These are people physically going out and buying this product on, and it would have been tape back then.
Yeah.
And they just kept selling out all the time, selling out and selling out and selling out. It was madness, absolute fucking madness.
Yeah.
And number one, just fucking everywhere.
Well, this is the thing, though. They coordinated the release to be played on pretty much every radio station at the same time all at once.
Yeah. It was just, they just smothered.
Just smothered.
I know that. Why wouldn't you, though? You've got all the biggest names in the universe on one song. Why wouldn't every radio station be like, okay, if they've got it, we have to have it.
Exactly. Like, we can't be the only people who are not doing it.
Nope.
10,000 to 20,000 is a We Are the World USA for Africa autograph soloist music with Grammy nominated certificate 1985, and it's got quite a lot of order. It's got who's it got? It's got Michael Jackson, Diana Ross, Bob Dylan, and others. So nice. Over 10 grand just for a piece of sheet music signed. Someone's even drawn a little fucking smile.
One of the coolest things about the fact with this documentary, though, is the fact there was so much vision.
Yeah.
On that night, because they actually made the film clip for the song.
From that. But
from that, it was just everyone live in the room singing.
Yeah.
So they were filming everything. They were just filming the whole lot, and they just patched it together.
Yeah.
To make the actual film clip.
And it was
great. Or the music video.
Yeah, but it was so great to hear – one of the people who was giving commentary was one of the camera guys.
Yeah.
And then apparently he wanted to submit an invoice at the end.
Yeah, for the payment.
And they were like, no, we're all doing this for free. And he's like, oh, okay. All right, at least I got a story to tell. I've only been here for 14 hours filming all these famous fucks.
Yeah. No, it was actually, it was so, so cool.
And especially the bit where, as we said, Harry Belafonte was the person who came up with the spark of the idea to be able to put this together. And then at one point, every person in the room started singing his dead, your body, your body. And they all sang it to him as like a tribute. And he just seemed, in awe that all these famous people, one, knew his song and two, would go to the
trouble. Because he was one of the ones that struggled to actually sing his part.
Yeah.
In the song. And they reckon because he actually got on the wine too much and celebrated too early.
Smashed it.
So they were trying to get his part done really quickly because he was getting too fucking drunk.
He was on the sauce.
You're celebrating the victory before the score had even been posted.
But roadies, if you have not seen it, you do yourself a bloody favour, because one, it's one of the most significant songs of, I suppose, yours and my generation. It was that big.
Definitely.
It was that big. And it's interesting because when, if I was asked to remember the lyrics, I remember the Michael Jackson's Shana Sharlinga bit. But that wasn't part of the original release. It was
funny, there were things that I kind of remembered I didn't remember.
Yeah. And it's cool because you watch it and then you see the various takes that they do and then, oh, fuck, that's the one they used.
Yeah.
Like, that's the take. I can hear it when you play the song, and it's a genius. Absolutely genius.
No, loved it. So loved it.
Do yourself a favour, roadies. I know this is a short episode, but fuck.
That's because they've got to go and watch the...
You do need to go and do it. Stop what you're doing. Just go and watch it, because there are many, many documentaries out there on music and stuff like that, and there's the reposition sort of replicated documentaries and all that kind of stuff. But
this is real.
This is the fucking chinism.
Also, we should have said at the start.
Kenny Rogers as well.
Spoilers.
Kenny Rogers, for crying out loud. Willie Nelson. Like, it wasn't just
even the combination. Yeah, of the different genres of music.
Yeah,
was really cool. The people were just coming together and saying, "Okay, we're in town right now.
Mm.
All those people that are in town, come here. We want you."
Get it on. Mm. And there was no...
Let's get it on.
Let's get it on. But I couldn't imagine it trying to be organised now. I suppose what would happen
it would be easier, but you'd
just fly them to a private island.
You would, but it wouldn't have the effect now either, though.
Yeah.
Because what had happened is with social media and all the rest of it, everyone would be publicising about it, and they'd be journaling on this, and there'd be whatever, probably. But there'd be no... I know surprise is what word, but the anticipation would be gone, because you'd already see everything before it even happened.
Well, you'd be watching it live. It'd be a pay-per-view, and it would be done as a concert, and they'd record the concert, as opposed to recording the song and then doing the tour afterwards.
Yeah, and then you suddenly have this scenario of releasing a song, and I was like, fuck, have you heard this new song?
Yeah.
Everyone would have already seen it on their phones.
Correct.
Like, it's just, it wouldn't have the same impact.
And I love the bit where someone... It wasn't one of the singers, but it was one of the employees going, and then this car rocked up, and then this person drove in, and this person was driving themselves. Like, all these different celebrities were just rolling in all manner of vehicles.
Yep.
It was just crazy.
Yeah.
And apparently Prince got a phone call saying, you really, like, Sheena Reid called him, like, you really should get down here.
Yeah.
And that broke my heart a little bit, where she – at one point suggested that the only reason she got an invite was because she played in Prince's band.
Yeah, I was hoping it might have got Prince there.
And they might have – and I'm like, oh.
I mean, it doesn't matter if that was the truth, but you weren't good enough.
You just weren't.
You were there because we wanted the Prince.
Exactly. Mind you, that said, you know, fucking what did Sheena Reid do? That's what you have, kind of have to ask yourself. What's her caper? What's her story?
She was around.
American
day.
Singer and drummer, began a career in the 1970s for the George Duke Band, then worked for bloody Prince for a while.
Love the exciting tones of the voice.
Yeah, she really wasn't, like, I'm sure if you're around the 80s, she was probably pretty big, but maybe it was all the Prince stuff that got her there.
Maybe, you know, so what? Sometimes you got to ride on the backs of some people to get where you need to be. That's the life we live, Joe.
I mean... It would be very hard to rise out of the shadow of the very small man called Prince.
Yeah, true.
I mean, he really was, at the time, quite popular.
He was doing all right.
Yeah.
He even changed the colour of rain to purple.
Exactly.
He was like Jesus.
It was like purple Jesus.
Yeah. Purple Jesus.
Purple Jesus. Anyway, roadies, I know you're going to go and watch it.
Do it.
The Biggest Night in Pop, was called? The Greatest Night in
Greatest
Pop?
Greatest Night in Pop, something like that.
Fucking Netflix, do yourself a favour. Anyway, roadies, on that, I am Joe.
I'm Troy.
And we are the world.
Yeah, we certainly are.